Thank you very much. Myself, Sukhbir Singh, and I'm a PhD candidate at New Mexico State University. And today I'm going to present a part of my dissertation that is the field scale adaptation of crop grow model for spring safflower. Ogallala Q4 is the main source of irrigation water in southern high plains that covers New Mexico and Texas. But nowadays there is water table is going down in the Ogallala Q4, and there is a serious threat to the future irrigation water in the region. And the main reasons of the Ogallala Q4 depletion are the continuous irrigation water withdrawal for crop production. And the most important is the irrigation withdrawal rates are higher than the recharge rate of the aquifer. And under these conditions, there's a need to find some of the crop that can be grown with less water. Safflower is an alternative oilseed crop, also regarded as a drought-tolerant crop, and it is basically originated in the warm climate of Middle East. And it is mainly grown for high-quality cooking oil, bird seed, flavoring and coloring agents. Multi-years and expensive trials are needed to find the adaptability of a crop in a particular region, and the performance of a crop in a particular region interacts with many factors such as irrigation amount, sowing time, light, temperature, etc. And it is impossible to investigate all the combination of all these factors in the field together. So, therefore, the crop models are the valuable tools to test those all the combination of the factors along with field trials. And crop models are used to assess the effects of land use changes on crop productivity, and also to simulate environmental risks and to evaluate alternative crop management practices to alleviate those risks. Being a minor crop, crop modeling in safflower was not an attraction for the researchers so far. However, increased pressure on natural resources is bringing attention to the low input crops such as safflower. So, therefore, the objective of our study was to adapt a process-based crop model to simulate growth and seed yield of spring safflower. To fulfill this objective, crop grow soybean model was used as a starting point, and approach used by Booty et al. To adapt this model for fava bean was used in our study. And the main components of the approach were to update tissue compositions, cardinal temperatures, and relationships from the literature into the model. And then optimization was performed by comparing the simulated results with the observed data. And observed data was collected from an experiment conducted at Agriculture Science Center, Clovis, New Mexico, during 2013 and 14. And the experimental design was spread plot. And in the main plot, we had four irrigation treatments. First one was irrigated. That means this was the fully irrigated treatment. And then stress at vegetative stage. It means we did not give any irrigation during the vegetative stage of the safflower. And then the stress at reproductive stage. It means we restricted irrigation during reproductive stage of the safflower. And last one was rainfed, and treatment was totally dependent on rainfall. And in the subplots, we had three cultivars, PID 8311, 99 OL, and NutriSap. And out of these cultivars, PID 8311 was used to calibrate the model, and other two cultivars were used to evaluate the model. And we had total four number of replications in this trial. These are some of the observations I have made during the growing season of safflower for this modeling component. And this is pretty interesting picture. This is the aerial picture of the trial during 2014. And this picture is showing the effect of irrigation treatments on the growth of safflower. So first of all, we updated the cardinal temperatures from the literature into the species file of the model, and we updated base temperature, first optimum temperature, second optimum temperature, and maximum temperature for the vegetative growth of safflower, progress to anthesis, first seed to maturity, and for photosynthesis. And these are the updated temperature for safflower in the model, and these were the default values in the model for soybean. After that, tissue compositions were updated from the literature in the species file, and values for carbohydrate, protein, lipid, lignin, mineral, organic acids were updated for the tissues such as seeds, shell, leaf, and stem. And these were the references I have used to update all these values in the model. After updating the temperatures and tissue compositions, optimization was performed by comparing based on observed data to calibrate the cultivar parameters, and these all are the optimized cultivar parameters for safflower, and these were the default values in the model for soybean. And in the last, some of the ecotype parameters were optimized based on observed data, and these values are the optimized values for safflower, and these are the default values for soybean in the model. So after optimization, we started simulating our results, and these are the results of plant biomass, which is on a y-axis, and the units are kg per hectare, and we have a days after planting on x-axis, and this x-axis will be same in all the result slides. And this graph is for 2013, and this is for 2014. And in these graphs, these symbols are the observed data points, and these lines are the simulated data by the model. And here we can actually we calibrated our model to simulate the final biomass accumulation, because the final biomass samples were based on larger area, around about 2.5 meter square area. The other samples were based on five plant samples. So we can see that model simulations were very 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 close to the observed data point towards the end of the season, and it was a little bit over-predicted in 2013, but in 2014 it was pretty close to the observed data. And similar data we can see in the stat table that is developed in the model. And here in this column we have a cultivar PID 311, and then different irrigation treatments under different years. Observed data point under different treatments, simulated data, R-square value, root mean square error, and D-stat value. And this D-stat value tells us that how good our model is. Its value close to 1 means our model is perfectly simulating our results. So the mean of the observed data was 5053 kg per hectare, which was pretty close to the mean of the simulated data, that is 4574 kg per hectare. The root mean square error was 2147 kg per hectare, and root mean D-stat value was 0.87, which is good in this case. So these are the results of head mass, which is on y-axis, and units are again kg per hectare. And we can see that observed data points and the simulations of the model were pretty close to each other in 2013. But in 2014, towards the end of the season, there was a little bit under prediction of the head mass in 2014. And in the stat table, the mean of the observed data was 2126 kg per hectare, which was fairly close to the mean of the simulated data, that is 1644 kg per hectare. Root mean square error was 911 kg per hectare, and the D-stat value was 0.9, which is pretty good in this case. And these are the yield results, and the yield is on y-axis, units are kg per hectare. And in both the years, the observed data and the seed simulated yields were very, very close to each other. And the mean of the observed data was 1902 kg per hectare, which was almost similar to the mean of the simulated data, that is 1963 kg per hectare, and the root mean square error was 237 kg per hectare. This table is showing the comparison between the observed and simulated crop life cycle and crop variables at maturity. And we can see that anthesis day and harvest maturity day, they were very well predicted by the model with root mean square error of 4.3 days in case of anthesis day and 6.5 days in case of harvest maturity days. And head number per meter square were also fairly predicted by the model with root mean square error of 132. However, seed numbers per meter square and harvest index, they were a little bit under-predicted by the model. So these results are the supporting results to the performance of the model. This is an independent data collected from other two cultivars that we have not used in the calibration of the model. And this data is the mean of these two cultivars over four treatments and of both the years. And we can see that seed yield and harvest index, they were also fairly predicted by the model with root mean square error of 425 in case of seed yield and 0.04 in case of harvest index. However, plant biomass was a little bit over-predicted by the model. Overall, crop growth safflower model is reasonably predicting crop phenology, growth, and yield of safflower, but there is a need to test this model under different environments. And in the last, I would say my special thanks to Dr. Sangamesh Angari, my main advisor, for his continuous support and inspiration to go into crop modeling, and of course to Dr. Kane Bhutti, who helped me to develop and adapt this model first time in the world for safflower, and we were able to publish a paper in Agronomy Journal. And of course to committee members, South Central Sun Grant Program for the funding, Agriculture Experiment Station, NMSU, Plant and Environmental, NMSU. And thanks for listening to me. If you have any question, I will try to answer them.
With some of your comparisons, your observations were much higher than the model simulated.
Mm-hmm.
And did you include any relative error statistics to show any bias, whether it's over-predicted, under-predicted, and so on?
Actually, those tables, that is the statistics that is itself in the model, and that tells us that with root mean square error, hub, we can say that how much there was error. that field error would not be included in this model because that is something else. But models error, that is that root mean square error that presents that how much that there is the accuracy between the simulation and the observed data. But yeah, there's no template for this. This is the first time, so we are not saying that this is the 100% of this model, but this is the starting point. So, these results are acceptable. Yes.
Yeah. It looks like during your calibration you optimize some parameters. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So, do you think that optimization may affect your under prediction?
We can say that because that prediction, the optimization is based on Bayesian optimization, and in that one, we include so many things like if we select, for example, we are simulating our yield, and we have to. Consider so many things like leaf area index, specific leaf area, and those can affect that optimization also.
How many parameters
are there were a number of parameters for each component, and that was also that model developer was suggesting me also sometimes I was doing it at on my by my own self, but sometimes he was suggesting me to use, say for example, biomass. For biomass, he was telling me that use this leaf area index and other parameters like specific leaf area also. So those kind of there were combinations to calibrate each and every parameters.
Great. Thanks.
Yes. Thanks.